Tell you what, it's an honor and a privilege to stand in this pulpit this morning because I know there's some things that are very sacred to a pastor. And one of the things that's most sacred to him is this pulpit. Amen. They're not going to let anybody or anything, as we say in the hood, come up in this pulpit. And so I tell you, I am honored to be here and for him to release this pulpit and to trust me, not only his pulpit, but his people. Amen. His people are sacred to him. His people are sacred to him. And so I consider it an honor and a privilege, one that I definitely will not abuse. And I really, because I've been a pastor now for 40 years. Amen. And I really understand what that means, because the Bible says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and especially pastors. We have to give an account, amen, for every person who God has placed into our care. So I want you to know, Pastor Chris, Pastor Debbie, I receive this as a sacred honor, amen, to stand in this sacred pulpit, preaching to your sacred people, amen, this sacred prophetic word. As Leroy Thompson used to say, I got a prophetical word for you this morning. Glory to God. And I believe it's going to bless you in Jesus' mighty name. So are you guys ready for this word today? Wait a minute. Are y'all ready for this word today? Okay, I'm in the right church. Glory to God. If you have a Bible with you, or your Bible, your smartphone, your iPad, wherever your Bible is, it's within your head. Hey, y'all can't sit down yet. No, we got to make our confession. Amen. Come on. Let's say out loud, this is my Bible. It's God's holy word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I already have everything it says I have. I will be taught the word of the living God. Faith will come, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My mind will be transformed. My spirit will be renewed. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you may be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're in the Lord's house this morning? I said, are you glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning? Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. And one of the brothers, you know, he blessed me with a real good joke the other night. Amen. I thought it was pretty good. And he said, you know, the only state that's found in the Bible? I said, which one? He said, Arkansas. I said, yeah. He said, yeah, Noah looked out the ark and saw. So that's the only heresy you're going to hear from me this morning. The rest of it's going to be the word of God in Jesus' name. So I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, glory to God. Hallelujah. And we're going to look at verses 21 through 24. Psalm 118, verses 21 through 24. It says, I will praise you, for you have heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Somebody shout, cornerstone. Cornerstone. Yeah. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe that the day that he's talking about is the day of marvels. The day of marvels. Notice what he said. He said, this is the Lord's doing, and it is what? Marvelous in our eyes. So we want to just share with you for a few minutes this morning. I believe the word that God gave me, amen, for Cornerstone, is my subject is the day of marvels. The day of marvels. Amen. I didn't say marbles. You know, let me divert a little bit more. We had an evangelist came to our church one time, and of course he was preaching on sin and trying to get everybody straightened out. And he says, how many of you out there playing marbles? I said, well, you know, I used to play when I was a little boy. He said, the Bible says, marble not. Marble not, I say unto you. I said, okay, brother, all right, that's enough. Everybody say marvel. This is a day of marvels, glory to God. And my subtitle is Supernatural Miracles, the Signature of God. God's signature is miracles. Amen. When God, amen, does a miracle, that is his signature. Everybody say miracles. It's the signature of Almighty God. Now let's see if we can dive into this for a moment. Now, as our opening text iterates, we are entering into what I believe a season and a sphere and a divine spectrum in which we will see the hand of God perform marvels in our midst. Somebody shout, marvels in our midst. Now, these miraculous manifestations will occur consistently, continuously, and in a compounding fashion. That means they're going to be greater as we go. They're going to be greater as we go. One thing I found about Jesus is every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And I found that when it comes to the supernatural, glory to God, God does not go backwards. Amen. We're going to see miraculous things happen, and they're not only going to be consistent, they're not only going to be continuous, but they are going to compound. They're going to get greater and greater as we go. Somebody shout hallelujah. Habakkuk 1 and 5 says, behold ye among the heathen in regard and wonder marvelously. There's that word marvel. For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe though it were told you. That's what a marvel is. A marvel is something that leaves you wondering. A marvel is something that leaves you speechless. A marvel is something that you don't even have words to describe it. I had an uncle, amen, who would come, and my mom was a great cook. How many of y'all, most of you, everybody in here, I think your mom was a great cook, right? Praise the Lord. But my mom, she was a great cook, and my uncle, his name was Naaman. And Uncle Naaman would sit there, and he was a bachelor, you know, and you know, he would love to come over and get a good meal. And boy, Mama would put that food in front of him, and he'd back from the table and scoot his chair back, and he'd say, Velma, that was something else. Amen. He said, he didn't have the words to describe it. He couldn't describe it. It was so good to him. All he could say was, Velma, that was something else. How many of y'all know our God is something else? Say out loud, my God is something else. I'm telling you, our God is something else. God is getting ready to do some thing that you cannot even describe. The only thing you can do, amen, is go home and say, man, that was something else. Somebody shout, that was something else. Amen. Our God is something else. The Bible says you will not be able to describe it. He said, I'll work a work in your days that you would not believe though it were told you. In Exodus chapter 34 and verse 10, and he said, behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people, I will do marvels. How many of y'all know we have a covenant with God that God will do marvels? Amen. We have a blood sworn covenant with Almighty God that when you need a marvel, God is going to give you a marvel. I tell you, we don't need marvels all the time, but when we need one, we need one. Can I get an amen? And so you have a covenant with God. You don't have to wonder whether God is going to give you a miracle. You can know that God will give you a miracle. Why? Because the Bible says, I have a covenant. Before all thy people, I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among you, amen, shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with thee. Somebody shout hallelujah. And then in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 9, watch this, verses 1 through 8. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Your sins be forgiven you. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think in your hearts evil in your hearts. For whether it is easier to say your sins be forgiven thee, or to say arise and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then said he unto the sick of the palsy, rise, take up your bed, and go unto your house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marvel and glorified God. They said, God, you are something else, which has given such power unto who? Men. Has given what? Such power unto men. Now you got to understand this with Jesus. But as you heard your pastor say earlier today, amen, God wants to do marvels through you. I said, God wants to do marvels through you. Yep. Say out loud, God wants to do marvels through me. They marvel and glorified God who had given such power unto men. Now watch this. As I said earlier, God has a signature. And God has a style. We call it swag in the hood. Oh yeah, God got swag about him. Come on now. Amen. God got some. See, I love Jesus. I just love Jesus. Come on, somebody. See, Jesus, he reaches us where we are.
Come on. Yes, he does.
And you know, I'm a hood boy. And I'm from the hood. And in the hood, you gotta have some swag. Huh? I don't believe Jesus walked into the synagogue like this. I believe Jesus walked in the synagogue like this. What's up in here? Come on now. We have a God who knows how to relate to people. And I don't care whether you're the smartest scientist on the planet, amen, or if you can't put two words together, God knows how to reach you where you are. Somebody shout glory in the house. So God has a signature and he has a style, amen, that makes a divine statement that can only be explained as something coming from the realm of the supernatural. When God leaves his signature, you know it had to be God. Amen. Somebody shout, that had to be God. Speaking of marvels, of course, and how many of y'all grew up with the Marvel heroes? The Marvel comic books and all. You know, most of us did. I mean, and so that's where they got it from. You know, they talk about marvels, but they're talking about people that were doing these superhuman things. Well, they call it superhuman, but what God's doing is supernatural. Amen. God's doing supernatural things. But, you know, to us, little kids, you know. But one of the, let me date some of y'all a little bit. You were talking about Schumbach a minute ago. You don't have any problem. All you need is faith in God. That's R.W. Schumbach. But how many of y'all can remember Zorro? Okay, most of you got a little bit of gray in your hair. That's okay. Anybody remember Zorro? Amen. But Zorro, he had this little mask and all like that. But whenever Zorro would do something, he'd leave his signature. What was his signature? He would take his sword, amen, and put that Z in there. You knew Zorro had been there because he left the sign of the Z. I want you to know you can know Jesus has been there because he leaves the sign of the cross. Come on, somebody. My God, you know Jesus has been there. Nobody could have done this but Almighty God. And God is getting ready to leave his signature all over America. God's getting ready to leave his signature, amen, all over Virginia. God's getting ready to leave his signature in your house. You're going to know God has been here. God has been here because he leaves his signature. And his signature is signs, wonders, and miracles. Somebody shout glory in the house. Job 37 and verse 5 says, God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things does he which we cannot comprehend. I mean, you cannot comprehend it. All you know, everybody say, all I know. Amen. All I know, it had to be Jesus. Amen. Can y'all remember when he healed the blind man? Amen. This is a blind man. He was blind in John chapter 9. Amen. He was blind. Amen. from birth. And you know the Pharisees, you know how religious people do. Amen. They don't try, amen, to get God on the scene. They try to explain him off. Amen. And they say, why would this boy born blind? It must have been something that his parents did. His parents must have did this. His parents must have done that. Jesus said, no, 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 no. It's not because of that. He said, this happened so the Son of God may be glorified. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. And he got that blind boy healed, and they got upset, and they said, now you tell us what happened, young man. You tell us what happened. And blind man said, look here, boy, I ain't even been to Sunday school. Come on, somebody. I don't know nothing y'all talking about. All them scriptures y'all quoting, I don't know nothing about it. I ain't been to Sunday school. I'm not a Baptist. I'm not a Methodist. I'm not a Presbyterian. I'm not a Pentecostal. But all I know is once I was blind, but now I see. Somebody shout, all I know. Come on, somebody shout, all I know. My God, you can't comprehend what God has done. You can't explain it with your natural mind. There is no explanation for it except it is the sign of the Z. You got to know that Jesus Christ has shown up in your situation. You can't explain it. There's no way you can comprehend it. God's getting ready to do something that's going to leave your mouth hanging. Shout out loud, my God is a mouth-hanging God. Y'all know what mouth hanging is? Huh? When Peter, your pastor, you know, amen, he talked about how he loved fishing and how he used to love hunting and all of that. But Peter was a fisherman. If there were any out there, Peter was going to get them. And one day he had toiled all night and had taken nothing. But the miracle worker showed up in his situation. Somebody shout hallelujah. Brother Cap said, I know Jesus must have been teaching a prosperity seminar. Amen. He used Peter's boat and started preaching about prosperity. Come on, somebody. He said, now I got a little faith in you. Come on, somebody. He said, now I want you to launch out into the deep and put in your nets. Your what? Nets. Come on, somebody put that S on it. Nets. I want you to put in your nets for a harvest. He looked at Jesus. He said, now look here, preacher. You stick to preaching, let me stick to fishing. I want to tell you right now, we've been out here all night. We didn't even get a minnow. Come on, somebody. We didn't get anything. Amen. And everybody in this part of the of Israel know if there anybody, any fish in there, Peter going to get them. And there's nothing out there. Amen. He said, but now I want you to cast out into the deep and put in your nets for a harvest. Somebody shout the miracle man. Amen. Amen. The miracle man is about to show up in this situation. And Peter said, look, he said, but nevertheless, oh my God. You know what? Here's one thing I love about a miracle. It does not take total faith. Peter had half faith and half unbelief. He said what? Nevertheless. Somebody shout nevertheless. In other words, I don't see how this can happen, but you must know something I don't know. So he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will put in, now he's in London, I'll put in the net. He ain't putting on both of these nets. I just got through washing them nets. Come on, somebody. But the Bible says when he had so done, he enclosed a great multitude of fish that began to break his net. I'm prophesying to you right here this morning. Some of you have been toiling, look like your business is not going to work. But I came to tell you today, amen, that marvels are about to happen with your business. Marvels are about to happen with your finances. Marvels are about to happen, amen, because the miracle worker is about to show up on your job. The miracle worker is about to show up in your business. The miracle worker is about to show up in your checkbook. I know you've been toiling and you haven't been getting anything, but the Bible says, amen, Peter put in the net and his net began to break. Come on, somebody. His boat began to sink. He had to call somebody to help him get the harp. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. Amen. And when they had done that and they brought all those fish in and Peter started looking at all them big crappie and bass jumping around in that boat. Come on, somebody. Fish everywhere. And the Bible said he was astonished. Somebody shout astonished. Amen. He said, depart from me, because I'm a sinful man. In other words, Jesus had worked this extraordinary marvel that turned everything in his life around. Amen. And Peter was left with his mouth hanging. Somebody shout, mouth hanging. Eye popping. Mind blowing. Marvels are about to happen to me. Come on, give God a shout of praise for that in the house. Glory to God. Hey, hallelujah, glory to God. Let's see if we can finish this up. Now watch this. When men behold the works of God, the first term that comes to their mind and out of their mouth is marvelous. Somebody shout marvelous.
Marvelous.
Somebody shout marvelous.
Marvelous.
Notice in Mark chapter 5, I'm going to skip around here a little bit for the sake of time, but y'all know the story. And the Bible says, and when they came over unto the other side of the sea. Now, I could preach right there. But you got to understand, God is getting ready to take you to another dimension. He's getting ready to take you to the other side. Somebody shout the other side. How many of y'all believe that there is another side? There is a supernatural side that God is getting ready to take us to. So he told his apostles, let what? Us go over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Now watch this. Now watch this. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit who had been dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, nor with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This man was possessed with a legion of demons. How many of you know if you're walking around in the graveyard buck naked, you got some issues? Now, I told you I was from the hood, now. That's the only way I know how to say it. But see, sometimes you gloss over stuff in the Bible. You know, because the King James real nice. King James real nice. The English folk, you know, would you like a spot of tea? He walked around without any clothes. No, he buck naked. Not among the tomb, but in the graveyard. This man got some serious problems. You understand what I'm saying? And that's who met Jesus. Now, here's what I'm trying to say to you. When you go to the other side of the miraculous, the devil is going to challenge you. He does not want you operating in this miracle anointing. God told me we're getting ready to enter. Watch this. He said we're getting ready to start operating on the miracle spectrum. Huh? That's another spectrum, you see. We own an AM radio station in our ministry. But you see, but there's also FM radio, and now they got satellite radio. You know, got all of this kind of stuff. Amen. But see, God says you're getting ready to operate on the miracle spectrum. You're getting ready to go to the other side. You're getting ready to go to another level. You're getting ready to operate, and at every level, there's going to be a what? Another devil. You got to understand, the devil does not want you dabbling around in the supernatural, because when you learn how to live on the miracle spectrum, you will become unstoppable.
That's right.
Somebody shout glory in the house. And the Bible says, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tomb, crying and cutting himself with stone. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of the Most High God? He says, I adjure you by God that you torment me not. But he said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. Amen. Glory to God. Again, that's the King James. Forthwith gave him leave. You say, y'all get up out of here. Somebody shout, get up out of here. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fed and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done. And they came to Jesus and saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Let me tell you something. The believers are going to marvel. But the unbelievers, are y'all listening to me? They're going to mock. You got to understand, they're going to mock you at first. What does mockery mean? This ain't really real. Let me tell you, when we start seeing people grow out new legs, we live in a skeptical generation. We live in the AI generation. You're going to have people at first that are going to mock you. You got to get beyond. You know what's going to happen? That's why the miracles have to increase. Huh? They ain't going to mock you long. Somebody shout hallelujah. Because God's going to do one bigger than that. Oh, they're going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. Oh, you over at that cornerstone over there, huh? Well, them folk be getting out of them. They ain't really getting out of that wheelchair. They ain't. He planted them folk. Huh? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You got to get ready for this. The Bible, they didn't come back and to come to see. Amen. The Bible said they were what? Afraid. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil asked him that he might be with him. He said, Jesus, can I follow you in your ministry? Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, now here's what Pastor Chris gets y'all to do all the time. Go home to your friend and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis, which means 10 cities, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Somebody shout, all men. All men did marvel. All men did marvel. Let me tell you something. You better start getting to church early, or you're not going to have a seat. Because I'm telling you, there's an anointing for marvels that's getting ready to take place. Oh, my God. Amen. And folk, they're going to go down, amen, to the place where they've been drinking with their buddies. Come on now and say, come see a man who did marvels. I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. Amen. All, yeah, man, they go. I'm telling you, they're going in the club and get them out. Amen. Ladies coming off the stripper pole. Y'all think I'm playing. Huh? Businessmen who said, I don't believe in that church stuff. I would never set my foot in a church. They coming. You want to know why? Because marvels are about to take place. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout glory to God. All men did what? Marvel. All men did what? Marvel. And later on in the gospel, it lets us know when Jesus went back there, all 10 cities had been won to him. I'm here to tell you, God's getting ready to do marvels and whole cities are going to be saved. The Bible said almost a whole city came out to hear the word of God. I'm telling you, amen, the only time America seems like we get turned around is when something tragic happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? 9/11 happened, the church was full.
Yeah.
Huh? The church was full, but see, that didn't last. Because we have a tendency to go right back to what we're doing. But I'm here to tell you, if the devil, through doing evil things, can get people to come to church for a little while, what do you think God can do when he starts doing miracles? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. Because God's getting ready to have his own 911. The devil orchestrated the first 911 with terrorists. Come on, somebody. And people came to church for a little while. I mean, our church was full. I mean, people were scared. They started coming to church because they were afraid. But I'm here to tell you right now, God's getting ready to do his own 911. I don't care what kind of emergency you're facing, you can call. I'm going to preach like the old Baptist priest. Just call 911. Come on, somebody. All you got to do is call what? 911. Come on, somebody. God's about to show up on your situation. God is about to do a marvel on your situation. Okay, I got to get through, y'all. Now watch this. Watch this. Let me give you a couple of definitions. The term marvel or marvelous, what does that mean? Number one, it means superb. Everybody say superb. Amen. It means excellent. It means great. It means such as to cause wonder. Huh? It's going to happen and you're going to wonder how God did it. God wants to leave our society wondering. Huh? God likes to leave people what? Wondering. That's why it's called signs and wonders. It's leaving people wondering, how could that have happened? I can remember as a little boy in high school, back before they started taking, you know, prayer out of the school and all of that, and thank God it's coming back. Glory to God. Amen. But we used to sing a little song. I mean, you know, they didn't really let you get in a whole lot of doctrine, but I mean, it was enough to let you have your mind on God. Amen. And we had a little choir in our school. Amen. And they would sing this song. Some of you might remember it. Over my head, I hear music in the air. And they would sing it. It's an old slave song. Over my head, I hear music in the air. And then the next verse was, there must be a God somewhere. You see, all thing God wants to do is make people God conscious again.
Come on, God conscious.
Somebody shout, God conscious. That's called the fear of the Lord. That's called the fear of the Lord. And let me tell you, when these marvels start taking place, people are going to become God conscious again. They may not be able to explain it. They may be like that blind boy. All he could say was, all I know. But let me tell you, it's going to make people know there has to be a God. Those astronauts who just came back. Come on, somebody. One of those men admitted, I did not believe. He said, I was not a believer. Guess what? He believed now. There must. Ha! I don't know what y'all talking about. Come on, somebody. I don't know this God you're talking about, but I tell you what, I know he's there. And all God's getting ready to do to our nation right now is to turn people back to Almighty God. Amen. Our politicians can't save us. Come on, somebody. Amen. All of our wisdom can't save us. We need to understand the only one who can bring us out of this situation is God Almighty. Somebody shout, God Almighty. It causes us to wonder. All God wants you to do is get your attention. It means to cause wonder, admiration, or astonishment. It means surprising. It means from out of nowhere. How many of y'all are ready for God to do something from out of nowhere? Have you ever heard had something happen to you? You said, man, look like that came from out of nowhere. Somebody shout hallelujah. And it doesn't have to be some way out of the way thing. God also does small miracles. And those small miracles, if you need it right then, it's just as big as a big miracle.
Come on, it is.
I was flying in here the other day, amen, and landed in Atlanta. Soon as I landed in Atlanta, you know, you take your little phone off of the air mode, whatever they call it. And I took it off. The first thing happened, got this text. Your flight to Richmond has been canceled because they don't have a crew. Well, my son had kind of warned me. He said, Dad, get on the earliest flight, which I did. He's a pilot. He flies for United. He said, Dad, you might want to get on the earliest flight. I said, son, I did. And he said, but also they're having a problem with crews, you know, because once these flights start getting backed up, and then the crew can't get there and all. But anyway, that's what happened. I get there. My phone goes off. Your flight to Richmond is canceled. Well, I did what I'm supposed to do. I went to the little desk over there, and the line was there, and I finally got up there, and they told me, well, we're going to have to put you in the next flight. It's going to be at 5:18, which will get you in Richmond at 6:43. I said, that ain't going to work. I got to get to a men's meeting. They expect me to be there. I got to preach. And they said, well, sir, I understand all like that, but Now, it was a sister. Now, you don't want to be I knew when to be quiet. She had that mama look like. I got you. Praise the Lord. So I went up in the little sky club thing, you know, so I went up there and I'm on my phone. First thing I had to let Pastor Chris know what happened. I said, Pastor Chris, get an agreement with me, Pastor Chris. He said, I'm on agreement with you. Amen. My wife got an agreement. I said, They got me on standby. Well, you know, I get out of there and I go down there to the gate, and this guy was trying to get everybody full of unbelief. And he had another woman helping. They were, I know a lot of y'all on standby. But I'm going to tell you right now, we got 58 people on standby. And the flight is already full. You might as well kind of make plans that you're not going to get on. And And he kept saying it. He said it every 5 minutes. I know people were coming into the gate. He was trying to get it out there. And so don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. There are 58 people on standby. There's 58 people on standby. More than likely, you will not get on. He started saying that every 5 minutes. Every 5 minutes. Every 5 minutes. But I said, I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement. Yeah. Well, right about the time, it was about time for them to get to the end. They said, don't come up here. No more. I already told y'all. I won't know until the plane is loaded, so nobody else come up here. That was this real, you know, sophisticated looking businessman. You know, he kept coming up there. I know that's who he was talking to. Come up here no more. Well, anyway, time finally comes, amen, and they got the plane loaded, and there were four seats left. Four. By that time, Pastor Chris texted me. He said, what do you know? He said, what's happening? I said, Pastor Chris, we're almost there. I'll text you back in just a few minutes. I'll let you know. And so I really didn't even look at the thing to see where I was on the list. You understand what I'm saying? And so by the time, here comes this lady running and screaming. Oh, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I said, okay. I had to admit a little unbelief set in. I said, there go them last four seats. And she had three, they called her name, passenger so-and-so, and you're a party of four. We're looking for you. And so she heard, here she comes, screaming and hollering, and they said, where are the other ones? Well, they're not here yet, but they said, we're going to give you 2 minutes. And I don't mean, you know, be ugly or anything like that, but I know, me and Pastor Chris are already in agreement. Come on, somebody. Those 2 minutes came, and I felt so bad a little bit. They said, I'm sorry, ma'am. The whole party has to be here. So we have to give you, boy, she blessed her heart. She was upset. I don't know what happened. I know she let them have it. But anyway, they said, passenger so-and-so, passenger so-and-so, the other businessman, they call his name, Silas Johnson. Woo, glory to God. Ain't no way I'm supposed to be on there. Glory to God, but God is the God of miracles. God is the God of marvels. Here's the next thing that happened. We get here. Amen. Pastor Chris said, I'm going to meet you now at baggage claim. I got down there. I said, Pastor Chris, one thing. I said, I'm sure my bag didn't get on. I'm sure my bag did not. I'm in unbelief for sure now. Because they know where I did. They didn't even know I was going to be on the flight. How are they going to get my bag on there? I said, and I got on. 5 minutes after I got on, they closed the door. They couldn't get my bag on there that quick. Pastor Chris said, give it just 1 minute, Brother Silas. And by the time he said that, I looked around on the little carousel. And there came my bag. Huh? And I thought, thinking like my uncle, God, you are something else. Say out loud, my God is something else. Amen. Out of nowhere, that bag came from out of nowhere. Something that was improbable, something that was inexplicable, something that was incredible. God gave me a marvel. And I said, I can't wait to get there on Sunday morning and talk about a God who's able to do marvels. Somebody shout, marvelous. Now let me go with this. There are seven principles. You say, oh Lord, have mercy. Seven. I'm going to do it real quick. Now I don't want to scare nobody. Amen. There are seven principles we have to exercise for releasing God's marvelous work. Let's do them real quick. Number one is you got to claim it. Everybody say claim it. Claim. You got to claim God's promises to do marvelous works are for us and in our day. Isaiah 8, 16 and 18 says, bind up the testimony. Let me get your Bible out. Seal the law among my disciples. Teach my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Look like God's hiding for him? Hey, whenever it looks like God's hiding, that's when you need to look for him. He said, I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. Woo. Somebody shout glory. Glory. Say out loud, I am for signs and wonders. Number one. Number two, you got to remember the marvelous work we just done in the past. You got to remember the marvelous works which he's done in the past. Watch this. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Somebody shall remember. David took down Goliath because he rehearsed and remember what God did for him in the past. You got to remember the last miracle that God did. Somebody shout glory. Amen. Declare. Number three, you got to declare. We got to preach it. His marvelous works to our generation. We are about to lose this next generation if we don't start preaching on marvels. And God told me, he said, son, this is one of the things that you're going to do in the last stages of your life. He said, I allowed you to sit under Kenneth E. Hagin. I allowed you to sit under Kenneth Copeland. I allowed you to sit under these men of God. And just like our generation did. And if we don't teach it to the next generation, we're going to lose it. All they know is the smartphone and all of this kind of stuff. But let me tell you, we got a smart God. And we got to let them know, glory to God. Well, what about AI? I don't know anything about AI, but I know I am. Somebody shout hallelujah. I said, I don't know anything about AI, but I know the great I am. I know that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we've got to teach this next generation, teach your children, teach your grandchildren, teach these teenagers that God is still a God who is doing signs and wonders and miracles and marvels among his people. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout glory to God. So what are we going to do? We're going to claim God's promises, amen, to do marvels. We're going to remember the marvelous works of God. We're going to declare his marvelous works to our generation. 1 Chronicles 16 and 24 said, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. Amen. Fourth thing, you got to expect his marvelous works. You got to expect his marvelous works to show up, watch this, and to help us to succeed. God is going to show up and help you to succeed. Some things you don't think God is interested in, he's interested in them. God is interested in your success, and if he has to do a miracle to help you to succeed, he'll do so. Look what the Bible says here concerning this. Amen. In 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 15, it says, and he made in Jerusalem, watch these, inventions, engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great. They had artillery. God taught them how to have artillery back in the day when they didn't know anything about it. And the Bible said his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Listen, you may not think God wants to do marvels in the area of your business, but he wants to. All it takes is one supernatural idea to change your life. And the Bible said he became famous all over the world because God gave him marvelous things to invent. I decree and declare that God is getting ready to do marvels in your thinking. God's getting ready to do marvels in your plan. There's no way that a church like this should be here in the middle of a cornfield. Pastor JB, he told me about it. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, Silas, you know how JB is. You got to see it, Silas. Glory! Tell him, Grandma. And he introduced us. And I have to admit, I drove up. I said, this can't be real. This cannot be. Guess what? This is marvelous things that happen, that God calls to happen through their minds. This is supernatural. Somebody shout supernatural. God supernaturally told him how to do it. And you got to understand, if he had to try to do this in his own strength, ain't no way it would have happened. That's right. That's right. And the Bible said it caused him what? To succeed. Somebody shout succeed. Succeed. Next thing, I'm about to get through, y'all. We got to extol. Everybody say extol. You got to extol, which means to praise him for his marvelous works among his children. Let me tell you, I've seen times when God would not, he didn't do a miracle for me until I started praising. See, God chooses how he wants to do it. And if God tells you to praise him, that's what you got to do. Did he not give, amen, did he not give a miracle to Jehoshaphat? He was surrounded by enemies, outnumbered 3-1. I'm in a military officer, I understand. You got to have a 3-1 advantage if you're going to go on offense. You better have at least 3-1 or else you finna get your behind. I mean, you getting ready to lose. That's the way the sergeant major used to say, but he said something other than that. But anyway, you got to have 3-1 odds. They were surrounded 3-1. No way they were going to come out of that. So he sought God. They said, God, we don't know what to do. God said, I know what to do. Praise me. Don't you know you don't want to hear that? Come on, God, give me something better than that. God said, I just want you to pray. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost right up in there right now. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost up in there right now. Sometimes God just says, praise me. And guess what? Amen. They said, okay, that's what we're going to do. Amen. They put the praises out front. Come on, somebody. And the Bible said they begin to praise God, saying, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And all of a sudden, God shows up on the scene. Come on, somebody. He begins to confuse the enemy. They start taking each other out. Glory to God. And the next thing you know, they walk up in the enemy's camp. Glory to God. And they had so much stuff left over, it took them 3 days to collect it.
3 days.
How many of y'all are ready for God to spoil your enemies? How many are ready for God to supernaturally? Amen. You heard that prophetic word today. Amen. You saw Pastor Debbie stomp her foot. Come on, somebody. Amen. You don't want a woman to put her foot down. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. When a woman put her foot down, you better get ready. Something is getting ready to happen. Amen. It's time for you to put your foot down. And one of the ways that you put your foot down is when you start to praise God. My God, you let the devil know you have gone far enough. Amen. You put your foot down and you begin to start praying God Almighty. Amen. There ain't no time to be cute. There ain't no time, amen, to try to keep your nails together. There ain't no time to try to keep your hair together. Amen. Sometimes you got to have some ugly praise. Sometimes you got to, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. When you got to need a miracle, you ain't thinking about what nobody else thinks. You might have to run around the church. You may have to run up and down the aisle. You may have to run a few pews. You may have to turn a few flips. You ain't worried about what nobody else is saying, because I need a miracle from Almighty God. I need God to move on my situation. I think right now, I think we need to stand up, glory to God, and give God an ugly praise. Come on. I think we need to start praising him right now. I believe we need to start praising God right now. I believe we need to start praising. Come on. You need to, oh, we need somebody to start praising him. We need you to praise him right now. I need you to, for the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Come on, let's say it together. For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Say it again. The Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Say it again. The Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Now give him a shout in the house. Glory to God. It says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all of your marvelous work. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to your name, O thou most high. Somebody shout hallelujah. And then when God moves, amen, don't you keep the glory for yourself. The next thing is reverence him for his marvelous works and take no glory unto yourself. God wants you, everybody say, give God the glory. Somebody shout, give God the glory. And then number 7 is know that there's no end or limit to God's marvelous works. They should increase, intensify, until they become innumerable. That means you can't count them anymore. You give up counting. Look what Job said in Job 5:9. Who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. John knew what he was talking about. John said, if I tried to write down every miracle that he did, the whole world couldn't hold it. I'm telling you, God's getting ready to do miracles so fast you're not going to be able to keep up with them. One miracle after the other. You say, how you know that, Bishop? Because the glory is getting ready to show up. That we just got you saying, the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Did you know that's what they were singing when they dedicated the temple? And you know what happened when they were saying, the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever? Not only did that glory show up for Jehoshaphat, but that glory showed up in the temple in 2 Chronicles 5. And as they began to say, the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever, the glory showed up. Somebody shout, the glory showed up. And the Bible said the glory came in that house, and it was so thick that they could not even stand up. The priest could not even stand up to minister because the glory of God was so thick. So that's where it's going to come from. Let me show you John 2, verses 10 and 11. And they said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But you have kept a good wine unto now. We just think we saw miracles in the early church. Can I say this again? We just think we saw miracles in the early church. We just think we saw miracles during the great healing of revivals. Oral Roberts and all those great healing evangelists. We thought we just saw miracles in the days of Kenneth Hagin. But God has saved the best unto now. Say out loud, God has saved the best unto now. He said, you kept a good wine unto now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. Somebody shout, this is just the beginning. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his what? Glory. It's all going to come as a result of the manifestation of the glory of God. God's glory is getting ready to manifest in the church. And as we begin to give ourselves to him, as we begin to praise him and magnify him, as we begin to do these seven things that we talked about tonight, this morning, glory to God, the glory of God is getting ready to show up. I saw it the other day in my prayer time. I saw the glory of God filling churches. It started out invisible. And only the people that had spiritual discernment, like your pastors and some of the others of you, only they knew it was there. But it started getting greater and greater until everybody, even sinners, when they came in, they saw it. They walked in and the glory of God, it was tangible. It was visible. The glory of God filled the house. The glory of God filled the house. Notice the Bible said he manifested forth his glory. When he began to manifest his glory, that's when marvels will begin to happen. That's when marvels will begin to happen. Stand on your feet. Yep. It's me, saith God. It is the time and the day of marvels. I shall do marvels among my people, and my glory shall be seen in and upon my people. It is time for me to manifest my glory. We have seen what men can do, and their efforts are futile. But now men shall see what I can do, because my marvel shall be done, and my glory shall be seen. For I am the Lord thy God, and I will not give my praise to another. I'll not give my glory to another, neither my praise to graven images. Yes, in this day, saith God, I shall manifest forth my glory, and my glory shall be filled with marvels, and all men shall marvel and say only God can do that. And yes, this is the day when all the efforts of men shall fail, but now in the midst of man's failure shall be the opportunity for my glory. And yes, even as the wine ran out, so shall men's wisdom run out. They shall come to the end of their wisdom. They shall come to the end of their devices. They shall even come to the end of their wealth, saith the Lord. But when they do, even as the wine ran out in the at the wedding feast, and Mary turned and said unto the Lord, now is your time. 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 And so I say unto thee, this is my time. This is my time, and I shall do signs and wonders among my people, and I shall manifest my glory, and the glory of man shall fade away. The glory of man shall fade away, but my glory shall intensify and get greater, mokoshidike, and get greater and greater and greater until you see no man. You will see no man. You shall see no man. You shall see no man. Even as it was on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Peter said, let's build a tabernacle to this one. And let's build a tabernacle to that one. But a voice spoke and said, this is my son. Hear him. And with that, they saw no man except Jesus. And so this is the day when my glory shall be seen. And no more shall monuments be built to men. But my glory shall manifest among my people, and they shall see no man except Jesus. Give God a shout of praise in the house. Glory to God. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Give God a shout of praise in the house. Netika shenende, malagosanunde, vresteba, harakonkoshi, banne mokushe bandike toboko samange. Ha 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 ha. Yeah, and this is one of the places that I've chosen. This is one of the places that I have chosen because of the meekness of your pastors, because they are meek and they've refused to exalt themselves. They refuse to stand or be put on a pedestal. And therefore I have chosen this place to be a place where I shall manifest my glory. And I have sent my servant Silas to you today to pronounce and to release this glory. There it comes in right there. There's the glory cloud coming in right there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Lord, you told me you're going to do it. You told me your glory was going to come. Yeah, you told me your glory was going to come. Your glory is filling this place. Your glory is filling this place. And marvels. Marvels. Marvels, great marvels, marvels without end shall happen and be done in this place. For I have chosen this place, saith the Lord, to manifest my glory, to manifest my glory, to manifest my glory. Yeah. So I decree April 26, 2026, that the glory has shown up in this place. And it shall not decrease. It shall not diminish. But it shall increase and get greater and greater as the days go by. And all men shall know that only God could have done this thing. And so, Lord, we give you glory, praise, and honor. Shinke mahaya dangolusuta. Nele mama no kashita. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, give God a shout of praise. I better stop right there. Because if I don't stop, I'll step over into a realm where I can't get back. I tell you that right now. I couldn't get back. And, you know, and this, you know, the Lord said, don't stop. If you keep going, you can't get back. And they'll be here to 6 o'clock. See, why did I say? Because you're not ready for that yet. See, and you'd grieve the Holy Ghost, see. You ain't ready for that. The day will come where 6 o'clock won't mean nothing to you. Because you're going to be on another spectrum. See, when them astronauts went up there, I'm trying to stop. Okay, Lord, I'm going to stop. But when them astronauts went up, they got in another realm. They got in another realm. They wasn't thinking about time. They weren't thinking about nothing. They did another realm. Yeah. See, so the Lord said, no, don't do, they're not ready for that yet. You can't just send an astronaut up there. They train them first. They train them how to live in a you know, where there's no gravity. They can't just send them up there. They ain't ready for that. They take them months and months and train them, get them ready, see, for that atmosphere they're going to be in. You can't just send them up there like that. They got to train them first, see. And so the Lord said, I'm going to train them first. Little by little, I'm going to train them. And they'll be able to learn how to live in my glory. Because in my glory, there are no watches. Yeah, no, they ain't ready yet. They ain't ready yet. My church ain't ready for it yet. Most of the body of Christ not ready for it. But we're going to get ready. I said, we're going to get ready. God going to train us how to live on the miracle spectrum. That's a whole different spectrum. Whole different. We're going to learn how to live on it. We're going to learn how to live on that spectrum. What's your name?
Mia.
Huh?
Mia.
Mia? How old are you?
About 19.
19. See, you're the generation that the enemy's been after. See, but on the inside of you, you are a spirit being. You supernatural yourself. So there's a yearning inside. You sitting there looking, you say, I